whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned in. At Christmas, we think of gifts, and I have a question for us today. What determines the value of a gift? Several years ago, I read about a lady who had kidney failure. Her kidneys had failed, and 3 days a week, she had to go and sit for dialysis for 4 hours or more. She couldn't get away from that. Every week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she had to go to a clinic and sit for over 4 hours while she was hooked up to a machine that ran her blood through a machine to clean it. She had a very poor quality of life and probably a shortened lifespan. Another lady heard about her situation and decided to give her one of her kidneys. The other lady had never met the lady who had kidney problems, but she decided to give her a kidney. She did the necessary test, and they matched, and she was able to give the other kidney to the lady. The other lady was elated. Her life was totally changed. She was now free from the clinic and the machine for her blood cleaning. To her, the gift of the clinic was an unspeakable gift. She couldn't describe what it meant to her to have a functioning kidney. She couldn't go to a store and buy a kidney, and she had no way of getting one. It was an unspeakable gift. The kidney would have not been an unspeakable gift to me. My kidneys worked just fine, and the kidney would not have meant anything to me, because I don't need it, but it was totally different for the other lady. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul writes, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It was indescribable. It was unspeakable. God has sent his son, and to Paul, it was unspeakable." Why was it unspeakable to Paul? Why did he say it was indescribable? You see, the lady with the kidney failure had such a deep need for one, and for that reason, she was so ecstatic. To Paul, the gift of God's Son was so precious because he was fully aware of his need of forgiveness. Paul realized his guilt before a holy God. Paul writes in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." He was fully aware of his deep need for God's salvation and forgiveness. He knew that he couldn't go to a store and buy forgiveness. He knew that God was a holy God who could not wink at sin and pass over his guilt. A friend of mine went to court one day, and he asked me to go with him. We sat down in the courtroom as other people had to go before the judge as we waited for his turn. At one point, a young 20-year-old girl was called up before the judge. She began by saying that she was sorry for what she had done. She said that she had learned her lesson. She asked the judge for forgiveness. She said she was not going to do it anymore and began to cry as she pleaded for forgiveness. The judge looked at the paper that had the charges against her, and then he told her, "Justice does not permit me to forgive you. The law does not permit me to forgive you. I must punish you." He was telling her that the law has a penalty. If a person doesn't keep the law, then the law gives him a punishment. He was telling her that he was a just judge, and he was going to have to punish her. He sentenced her, and she was carried automatically away to jail to fulfill her sentence. In Romans 6:23, we read that the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death, not just physical death, but eternal death in hell also. Paul was deeply conscious of his sin and guilt. He realized that God could not overlook sin and that he was facing a sentence of eternal death in hell. Paul had lived a moral life, but he was conscious of his pride. He was conscious of the fact that he had been full of self-trust. He was conscious of his self-righteousness. He was conscious of his unbelief, of his self-centeredness, and of his sins of omission. He realized that he had not loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and body. He also realized that he had not loved his neighbor as himself. He was facing the holy justice of a holy God, and he was deeply conscious of his tremendous guilt. And when he understood what God had done in sending his son to a cross to die, he says it is an unspeakable gift. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is what Christmas is all about. It's all about God's unspeakable gift and his wonderful love. It's about God loving you, seeing you condemned because of your rebellion and sin, and in love sending his son to a cross to pay your penalty. If you have never seen your guilt and the sentence that awaits sinners, then you can't really appreciate God's gift. And you can't say that to you it is an unspeakable gift. You have totally missed the meaning of Christmas and the real reason for the gift. However, if you are conscious of your guilt, if you are conscious that you have fallen short, if you are conscious of the fact that nothing good dwells in you and that God is holy and pure, then you realize something of your great need of salvation and his forgiveness. You can then understand the true meaning of Christmas. What was the reaction of the shepherds in Palestine when they heard the announcement of the angels as they were tending their flocks? And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. They went with haste. They didn't wait around. They left at that moment to go see this Savior. My friend, what has been your response to this announcement? Is this the best and most wonderful news that you have ever heard? Or do you celebrate Christmas without really realizing the true meaning? My friend, it is time to receive God's gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is time to turn from your self-trust and rebellion and confess your sins to the Lord. Give him thanks for having sent his son to be born in Bethlehem and later go to Jerusalem to die for your sins and mine on the cross. Surrender your life to him today and receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and as your Savior. My friend, it's time to truly understand the real meaning of Christmas. It's time to celebrate Christmas with a true and meaningful understanding of what it's all about. Yes, it's about a gift. It's about a gift that was given by God. You see, at Christmas, we receive gifts and we send gifts. But the gift of all gifts is the gift of salvation that God offers us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to a cross to die for my sins and your sins. For God so loved the world. That's the meaning of Christmas. And the gift is that he sent his son to provide salvation for guilty and lost sinners such as you and such as I. For God is love. For God so loved the world. He so loved John and Mark and Sam and Sarah and Susan and Juana and me and you as individual persons. My friend, it is time to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, to receive God's gift of salvation and to have the assurance that your sins are truly forgiven, that you will spend your eternity in heaven with him. My friend, turn to him today. Turn from your own way. Turn from your own self-trust. Ask him for forgiveness for your sins. And thank him for his wonderful gift in having sent his son to a cross for you and for me. Surrender your life to him today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior and as your Lord. You see, those shepherds at night, when they heard the news, what was their reaction? Well, did they say, we'll see about this in a week or two. We've got some things we need to do. No, they made haste. They left that night to take a trip, to go to Bethlehem. That was the important thing. That was the thing that to them was a wonderful thing. God had made known to them that there was salvation in his son. My friend, God has made known to you through this message and other messages that God has sent his son to be the Savior of the world. It's time for you to turn from your own way, to turn back to him, to surrender your life to him, to receive by faith the gift of salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word today to your heart. Thank you for having tuned our way.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.